الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه تبارك وتعالى قال: أنا عند ظن عبدي بي وأنا معه إذا دعاني، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama, elders, young friends and sisters listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was honored to have recited a hadith Qudsi narrated by the great Imam of Hadith, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, in his famous book of Hadith, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي، I deal with my servant, with my abd, with my slave, according to his thought regarding me. If faced with a situation he turns his attention towards me with a positive thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely help me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely cure me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely remove my distress, then I will deal with him accordingly. I will remove his distress. I will grant him cure. I will assist him in his problem. But if on the contrary, when faced with a situation, he turns to me with a negative thought, with a negative thought, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not remove this distress. I am so sinful. I have committed so many crimes that I deserve worse than the distress that I am experiencing. So Allah will not remove this distress, He will increase this distress. He will not remove this distress. He will not forgive me. He will not help me out of this situation. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with this person accordingly, and Allah will not remove that distress. Allah will not help him. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي فَلْيَظُنَّ مَا شَاءَ. I deal with my servant according to his thoughts regarding me. So it is up to the servant. It is up to him whether he chooses to have positive thoughts regarding me or he chooses to have negative thoughts regarding me. It is entirely up to him. But I will deal with him according to his thoughts. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam again quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أَنَا إِنْدَ ذَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي. I deal with my servant according to his thoughts. إِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا فَلَهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. It is up to him. If he wishes, he may have good thoughts regarding me. He may have positive thoughts regarding me, that Allah will definitely cure me. Allah will definitely remove this distress. Allah will definitely grant me guidance. Allah will definitely find a solution to my problem. In kana khairan, if he will entertain positive and good thoughts regarding me, falahu, then I will grant him goodness. وَإِنْ كَانَ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. But on the contrary, if he was to entertain evil thoughts and negative thoughts, that Allah will not cure me, Allah will not remove this problem, Allah will not help me in this distressful time, Allah will not do this, Allah will not do this, I don't deserve it, I shouldn't deserve it, I shouldn't even ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything has a limit. It's too much now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ كَانَ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. When he begins to think negative and evil regarding me, that Allah will not give me what I want, then I will not give him. It is a very, very important hadith-e Qudsi, my friends. My late Shaykh, Hazrat Aqdas, Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say that a thought in a servant's heart and mind regarding his creator will totally depend on how much connection and how much love he has with the creator. If the connection and the love is 100%, then he will entertain 100% positive thoughts regarding the Creator. And if the connection is weak, if the love is next to nothing, then he will never be able to entertain good thoughts regarding the Creator. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam's statement in Surah Yusuf, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only those people will despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who disbelieve. A disbeliever will not have any hope whatsoever in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he has no connection, no love with the Creator. So all you will see in his life is despondency. Despondency. The more the connection, the more the love, the stronger the relationship, the stronger the bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the positive thoughts. If we know of a doctor in the Stamford Hill area, but we really don't have a connection with him, there is no relationship. We only know him because he lives in this area, he comes to the masjid, and we have known him through other people that he is a doctor, he is a GP or he is a consultant. Because there is no connection, because there is no love, because there is no friendship, we will hesitate to phone him. If we need his help. And these thoughts will come over and over again that if we phone him, he may not be prepared to help me. He may be busy and he may not want to shift his schedule here and there. But if we know a doctor who is closely connected to us, who is our friend, who loves us and we also love him, and there is a strong bond between we and him, then even in the middle of the night, even in the early hours of the morning, we will not hesitate to phone him. We will pick up the receiver with 100% faith and trust and belief and hope that as soon as we phone him, he will attend to us. So my late Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that negative thoughts and positive thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will depend on how much connection a person has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much love a person will have has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allama Jassas rahimahullah ta'ala in Ahkamul Quran states that it is fard, it is compulsory to entertain positive thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as it is compulsory to perform 5 times salat regularly, just as it is compulsory to give zakah, just as it is compulsory to perform hajj, just as it is compulsory to fast in the month of Ramadan, it is compulsory, it is fard on every believer to entertain positive and good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any situation. It means it is compulsory and it is fard for every mu'min to build that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which a person will always think positive about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is haram, it is prohibited for a believer to have negative thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is fard to have positive thoughts. It is haram to have negative thoughts. Whatever difficulty, whatever distress one is facing, one is experiencing, there is always a ray of hope for a mu'min. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. Allah is He who has created me. Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. And thereafter He guides me. He guides me in relation to my worldly matters, and he also guides me in relation to my ukhravi matters, the matters of the hereafter. If I am sick, it is only he who guides me to the right doctor. If I am looking for a job, it is only he who guides me to the right place. If I am looking for a lawyer, it is only he who will guide me to the right lawyer. In regard to all my needs of this world, it is only Allah who will guide me to the right destination. And in regard to my matters of the hereafter, at the time of death, qabr, hashr, hisab, pul sirat, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides me. Alladhi khalaqani. Allah is He who has created me, fahuwa yahdeen, and it is only He who guides me to the correct destination in regard to my worldly matters and in regard to the matters of the hereafter. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِيمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِ. It is only He who feeds me. And it is only He who provides water that quenches my thirst. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. And when I become sick, it is only He who cures me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful over everything. We read over and over again this statement in the glorious Quran. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is powerful over everything. Nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which can be termed as being difficult for the Creator. When we study a particular scenario, then it may seem difficult, it may seem impossible. It is because we are the creation, we are the creatures. We look at things from our perspective. We look at things from a different angle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at things from another angle. He looks at it from another perspective. We look at things as creatures and creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at things as the creator. Those things which seem difficult to us is easy for the creator. And those things which seem impossible to us are possible for the creator. The difference between the creation and the creator is that the creator is He who can make the impossible possible. In any situation, a mu'min, a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always see a ray of hope. It is for this reason, somebody who has become the victim of a chronic fatal illness, such as cancer, will always entertain this hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring cure. All the consultants, all the doctors have given up and they have said, this person will not live for more than 2 weeks. He will not live for more than a few months, a few weeks. It is only a matter of a few days. Despite all these views and professional views, a mu'min deep inside finds some kind of hope. And it is this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that keeps him going. As far as a believer is concerned, there is nothing impossible in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we have been taught to do. In times of distress, in times of difficulty, we must always believe with conviction, with full faith, that there is still hope. And my Creator can change the situation. Because He says, Ya ibadi, kullukum ja'i'un illa man at'amtuhu, fastat'imuni ut'imkum. O my servants, all of you are hungry. All of you will experience hunger except for that person whose belly I will fill. If I don't fill your bellies, you will experience hunger. And it is only me who will fill your belly. Fastat'imuni. Therefore, don't give up hope when you are hungry. Turn to me and ask me for food. Ut'imkum. I will fill your bellies. Ya ibadi kullukum dhalun illa man hadaituhu. O my servant, each and every person that is in this world will go astray except for that person that I will guide. If I don't guide you, you will never be able to come on the straight path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again here showing us that way of hope. Kullukum dhalun. Each one of you will go astray illa man hadaituhu, except for that person whom I will guide. And I am there to guide you. I am Hadi. I am the guide. Fastahduni. All you have to do is not to give up hope, not to become despondent. Turn to me and say to me, Oh Allah, give me guidance. Ahdikum. I will put you on the straight path. Ya ibadi, kullukum aarin illa man kasawtuhu. Each one of you is naked, except for that person whom I clothe. It is I who give clothes. It is I who make arrangement for your clothing. It is I who create all the resources for you to buy clothes and wear clothes. If I do not arrange for these resources, you will remain naked. You will not have anything to put on your clothes. Kullukum aarin illa man kasawtuhu. It is only I who provide you with clothes. So if you are naked, if you don't have anything to cover your body, don't give up. Don't become despondent. Fastaksuni yaksukum. Raise your hands in my court and say to me that, Oh Allah, clothe me. Clothe me with attires and clothe me with good morals and good characters, so that I may look beautiful from the external aspect, and I may look beautiful from the spiritual aspect also. Fastaksuni, aksukum. Ask from me and I will clothe you. I will clothe you with these clothes, and I will clothe you with good manners also. Without good manners, a person will not look attractive, my friends. A person has very good looks, very fair in color, very handsome, lot of beauty, and very nice clothes. But if he does not have the right morals, if he does not have the right characters, then people will not like him. لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا بَلِ الْجَمَالُ جَمَالُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ وَلَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ بَلِ الْيَتِيمُ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. A few couplets in the Arabic language. لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا. A person cannot become handsome and beautiful with the clothes that he puts on his body. بَلِ الْجَمَالُ جَمَالُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. The real beauty lies in good morals and knowledge. An educated person with good morals may not be able to afford expensive clothing, but he will attract everybody's hearts because of his morals, because of his characters, because of his behavior, his attitude. And a person who is very wealthy and very rich, but without education, without morals, without characters, will not be able to attract anybody. وَلَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ. And that person in reality is not an orphan whose parents have died. The real orphan is بَلِ الْيَتِيمُ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. The real orphan is he who has been deprived of good education and good morals. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these clothes that will cover our satar, that will cover our body. And we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the beautiful dress of beautiful morals of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is for this reason we have been told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when we look in the mirror, When we look in the mirror and when we look at our face in the mirror, the nose is perfect, the eyes are perfect, the ears are perfect, the whole face is perfect. We are to say, Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, you have made my face so handsome. Can you make my morals handsome as well? Can you make my morals good as well? Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, this face will rot in the grave. It will not remain forever. But if my morals are good, then through those morals, through those characters, the good deeds that I will do in this world, that will remain with me forever and ever in the hereafter. So my face is not important. It is the moral that is important. And if my face is very handsome, but my morals are no good, people will begin to despise me. And if my face is not that attractive and not that handsome, but if my morals and characters are good, then I will attract everybody because of these morals and characters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not become despondent. Do not become despondent. Whatever situation you are in, ask from me. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Come to my door, raise your hands and ask from me, I will definitely grant you your wish. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when my servants come to you and they ask you regarding me, where is Allah? إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. When my servants ask you regarding me, where is Allah? فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Tell them that I am very near. I am near to every servant of mine. I am near to every servant of mine. أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. I am more nearer to him than his jugular vein. I am very, very near. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am very, very near. You do not have to come to me through some agency. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When the caller calls me and he says to me, Oh Allah, forgive me, I forgive him. When he says, Oh Allah, cure me, I cure him. When he says, Oh Allah, remove my distress, I remove his distress. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Whenever he calls me, I respond to him immediately. Why should we become despondent? Why should we lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He over and over again emphasizes in the ahadith, in the Quran, that call me, I am there for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. When a person does not turn to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not ask from Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes unhappy and angry. In this world, when we ask from somebody, he becomes angry, he becomes unhappy. Maybe once he will give, twice he will give, third times with a heavy heart he will give, fourth times, fifth times, sixth times, seventh time, a day will come when he will get sick and tired of us. He keeps coming. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes unhappy with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry upon us when we do not turn to His court, when we don't ask from Him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that, O Anas, even if your shoelace breaks before going to the cobbler, first turn to Allah and say to Him, O Allah, I want a new shoelace. Ask everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through dua, my friends, we acquire a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through dua. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the Khalifa of Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, and the Sheikh of the likes of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani and Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani, damat barakatuhuma, and the likes of my Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to continually go into his company once a week and benefit from his company. Dr. Abdullah Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, learn to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your life. Learn to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment of your life. Now how do we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we learn to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We get up early in the morning, we wash our face. So we get up in the morning, we get up from the bed, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, now I am going to see my wife, I'm going to see my children. Oh Allah, what I want from you is, I want everybody to be healthy and happy. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their health, for their safety, for their happiness. Thereafter, Oh Allah, I am going to work, make my journey easy. Oh Allah, I'm going to my factory. When I reach my factory, I do not want to see anything that will create anxiety. Oh Allah, all my workers will be meeting me soon. I do not want to see any of my workers in any kind of anxiety. Oh Allah, grant everybody peace and safety. Oh Allah, I'm going to the shop, make my journey to the shop easy and grant me a very good bargain and bring me back home safely. Dr. Abdullah Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, learn to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every moment of your life. It will seem difficult in the initial stages, my friends. But once we practice and once we exercise, then soon you will begin to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every moment of your life. And once this connection is strengthened with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this continuous communication, then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter our hearts. The reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter our hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. One who begins to rely on Allah only, then Allah is enough for him. He does not need anything else. So when making dua, when asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, we need to be very, very firm in our resolution and conviction that Allah will definitely grant me my desire. If a person feels that I'm very sinful, I don't think so Allah will accept my prayer. It is better that I ask Sheikh to pray for me. I ask somebody else to pray for me. Then Allah will not accept his prayers because Allah will deal with him according to his thoughts. If the thoughts are negative, then the response will be negative. If the thoughts are positive, then the response will be positive. In any kind of distress, my friends, in any kind of situation, you are 100% sure. You are 100% sure when you look at the resources, when you look at the means, that there is no way out of this. At that time, you must remember that the creator of these resources and the creator of these means and my creator can definitely change this circumstance. Therefore, I will turn to him and I will ask him. Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam is separated from Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. For how long? Many, 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 many years. Many years. He continued weeping for his son because he loved Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam very much. The duration and the period was so long that due to weeping, Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam lost his eyesight. Tallahi tafta wa tadhkuru Yusuf hatta takuna haradan aw takuna min al-halikin. The sons of Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam said to Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam that you will continue weeping over Yusuf until you will lose your mental state or you will die. Have patience and stop crying over him. They were trying to make a reference to this thought of theirs that Yusuf has faced destruction and he is no more in this world. What did Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam say? I am not complaining to anybody. Innama ashku batthi wa husni ilallah. My hope is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama ashku batthi wa husni ilallah. My complaint is to my Creator. I am continually weeping and seeking help from my Creator who can make the impossible possible. وَعَالَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And what I know, you do not know. The faith that I have, you do not have that faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after so many years, the hope is still there, not knowing where Yusuf may be. He says, يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفُ. Oh my sons, go, leave. Leave this home now. Go out, look for Yusuf. Not knowing in which direction he is sending his sons. Because he doesn't know where Yusuf is. But that hope is still there. And he is entertaining positive thoughts with the Creator that he will one day bring my Yusuf to me. Ya bani yadhhabu, O my sons, go. Fatahassasu min Yusuf, look for Yusuf. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. And do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only a disbeliever will lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer never loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the situation, my friends, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this firm conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely fulfill this need of mine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely solve this problem of mine. Whatever the situation, وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nuh was in such a difficulty out of which it was impossible for him to come out. But what did he do? He did not lose hope in our mercy. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam called us. He said, رَبِّ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, help me. There are multitude of people as far as the opposition are concerned. And with me only approximately 80 people. But I still have hope in you that your nusrat will come, your help will come. You will definitely help those people who are obeying you, who are believing in you. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We accepted his prayer. We accepted his prayer and we solved his problem. And we granted him escape from the turmoil that he was in. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ وَأَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam. He went through so many difficulties. So many difficulties, so many sicknesses, illnesses. According to some mufassirin, his body had rotted. His body had rotted. And the only person who was serving him was his wife. Everybody had left him. The whole community threw Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam out of the town. We don't want this sick person here. We don't want this rotten body in our town. Only the wife was serving him. And Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, knowing that this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continued to say, Rabbi anni massaniya dhur. He was in so many difficulties, so much pain. But he did not complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left everything within his heart because he knew that Allah is alimun bidhati sudur. He is fully aware of what is in my heart. This is a problem, this is also a problem, this is also a problem, this is also a problem, so many problems. He only said, Rabbi anni massaniya dhur. Oh Allah, I am facing difficulty. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you are the most merciful. He did not even say, Oh Allah, remove my difficulty. He continued to say this, رَبِّ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُ. Oh Allah, I am facing difficulty. I am struck with calamity. I am faced with this. I have become a victim of this illness. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. All I can say is that you are most merciful. You are most merciful. There is no one more merciful than you. He continued to say this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ We accepted his prayer and we cured him. وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ وَذَنُّونَ Yunus alayhi salatu was salam إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ Yunus alayhi salatu was salam called out from three darknesses. Three darknesses. The darkness of the night, the darkness of the water of the ocean, and the darkness of the fish. In the stomach of the fish, no possibility whatsoever of survival. But Yunus alayhi salatu was salam did not lose hope. He did not become despondent. That ray of hope was still there, that Allah can definitely save me. وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا فَذَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ اللَّهَ إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ There is no one worthy of worship except you. There is no one who can help me out of this situation except you. Subhanak, you are faultless. You are able to do anything. You are able to do anything. You can do anything. You can grant me escape from this problem that I am in. You can find a solution for me. Subhanak, you are pure. Inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Inni kuntu minal zalimeen. And I accept my mistakes. I accept my shortcomings. I am humble creation of yours. Fastajabna lahu. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْرِ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ We accepted his prayer and we granted him exit from that grief. And Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ This was not only because he was the Prophet of Allah. This was not because he was Yunus, my Prophet. This happened because he did not become despondent. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Those people who believe in me with full faith and do never become despondent and turn to me in times of problems, I will remove their difficulty also. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ Zakariya alayhi salatu wassalam reaches the age of 120. An old man. And his wife is 100 years old. There is no possibility whatsoever of a child. Kaf haya ain sad. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu zakariya. Idh nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. Very silently he is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? The commentators of the Quran say that he was feeling shy. That at the age of 120, I am asking for a child. If somebody listens to this dua of mine, that I am asking for a child and hoping for a child at the age of 120. But he had hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا And what did he say? He said, Oh Allah, all the resources and the means that are required for a child do not exist. رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا وكانت امرأتي عاقرا It is not possible for us to have child because I am 120, my wife is 100 years old. We have passed that age now. ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا But oh Allah, I am asking you with 100% hope that when I will ask you, you will definitely grant me a child. I am relying on this dua, on this inner positive thought that I have regarding you, that you will definitely give me a child. وَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا O Allah, the child I want has to be a male. Why? Because I want him to be a Nabi as well. At the age of 120, he is asking for a child with his own conditions. Just imagine how much yaqeen he must have had in that prayer being accepted. I do not want a female, because a girl will not be able to become a Nabi. I want somebody who will inherit me, who will take my seat, who will also become a Nabi. Yarisuni wa yarisu min aali Yaqub, who will become my inheritor, who will become the inheritor of the children of Yaqub. They were all Nabis. I want a child who is male, who will become a Nabi. Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bi ghulamin ismuhu Yahya. Allahu Akbar. My friends, if only we had this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would have been able to solve our problems in not minutes, in seconds. If we had this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bi ghulamin ismuhu Yahya, lam naj'al lahu min qablu samiyya. Oh Zakariya, we are giving you a glad tiding of a son whose name will be Yahya. I will crown him with the crown of prophethood. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَا. We accepted his prayer and we granted him Yahya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, this was their habit. يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. This was their habit. Whenever they required something, with 100% positive thought, they turned to us, and whenever they asked something from us, we granted them. If we are sick, we should not give up hope. We should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for cure. If not today, tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the day after. Allah will one day grant us cure. If we are misguided, if we have gone astray, then other people are also praying for us. Our parents are making dua for us. Our asatidah are making dua for us. Our mashayikh are making dua for us. The elders of the family are making dua for us. But we also should make dua for ourselves. Oh Allah, grant me guidance. Oh Allah, show me the straight path. Oh Allah, nothing is difficult for you. So two things we need to remember. Number one, whatever situation we are facing, we should never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should always entertain this thought that if I come closer to Allah, or if I try and strive to come closer to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely going to remove this problem of mine. And number two, when we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should entertain positive thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept my prayer. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of haya. Allah is kareem, very generous. Allah is very generous, and Allah is full of haya. Full of haya, full of modesty. When somebody is full of haya, then when somebody goes and knocks at his door, then he will not return him empty-handed. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌ. Allah is full of haya. كَرِيمٌ. Allah is very, very generous. إِذَا رَفَعَ الْعَبْدُ يَدَيْهِ يَسْتَحْيِي. إِذَا رَفَعَ الْعَبْدُ يَدَيْهِ أَنْ يَرُدَّهُ صِفْرًا. When the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his hands in his court, then he feels embarrassed and shameful to return him without giving him anything. Allah will definitely grant him something. Allah will definitely grant him something. The fault is on our side, my friends. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, when a person makes a dua with a negligent heart, then Allah will not accept his dua. What is the meaning of negligent heart? Kalbin lahin. Negligent heart means, let's give it a try. I know it's not going to happen, but there is nothing wrong in making dua. At least I'll get some sawab. These are our intentions when we are making dua. We look at the asbab. When I look at the asbab, it is impossible. It is impossible, but does not that great being exist who can make this impossible possible? Dr. Abdullah Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks his help, that means he is saying to Allah that, oh Allah, make this possible. Dr. Saab used to say, is there anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not possible for him? Everything is possible for him. If everything is possible for him, then he can do anything for us. With a negligent heart, when we make dua, Allah will not answer our prayers. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept the dua of that person, of a person who calls him ma lam yasta'jil, as long as he does not haste. As long as he does not hasten. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself commented further to explain what is the meaning of hastening. He said that he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the next day he says, I asked but he did not accept my prayer. Or he asks for 1 week and he said, I've been asking since 1 week and he hasn't accepted my prayer yet. Or he asks for 1 month and he says, I've been asking for 1 month, he doesn't accept my prayer. Musa alayhi salatu was salam, when he made dua against Fir'aun, a very eminent prophet, Musa alayhi salatu was salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his prayers and destroyed Fir'aun after 40 years. For 40 years he continued to pray with total faith, with firm resolution, that sooner or later my Allah is going to accept my prayer. He did not give up. He did not say, I've been praying for 1 year, I've been praying for 2 years, I've been praying for 3 years and Allah does not accept my prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is the essence of ibadah. الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. It is dua that is the real ibadah. Dua is a very great ibadah, my friends. So whether we acquire something or not in this world, in the hereafter, Allah will definitely grant us a lot of reward for praying to Him, for spending those 10 minutes in prayer. But despite dua being ibadah, a person should not engage in dua with this view only, that I want to worship Allah and I know that I'm not going to get what I am asking from Allah Ta'ala. No. Dua is ibadah and I am going to get what I am going to ask from my Creator. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely grants him what he asks for. His dua is definitely accepted. As long as he is a believer, his income is halal, he does not eat of haram, he does not use anything that is of haram, and he does not hasten, he has full faith that Allah is definitely going to accept my prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah definitely accepts the prayers. But there are three methods of Allah accepting our prayers. There are three methods. Allah definitely accepts our prayers. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us exactly what we are asking from Him. A person says to Allah that, oh Allah, I am in need of 500 pounds, grant me 500 pounds. So Allah will grant him 500 pounds, sooner or later. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes a calamity that was to befall him, and that calamity was equivalent to what he was asking for. So he is asking for 500 pounds from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a calamity was going to befall his car, which was also worth 500 pounds. If he did not pray, if he had not asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have lost that car. So he would have lost 500 pounds. But when he said, oh Allah, I'm asking for 500 pounds from you, Allah will save that car, that means Allah has given him 500 pounds. That is another method. And there is a third method, which is the best one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give him what he is asking for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not substitute anything for him in this world. But Allah will gather all his du'as in the hereafter. My servant was asking this from me, but I knew that it is better for me to give him something in the hereafter than the world. So all the du'as were accumulated, and on the day of Qiyamah, when this servant will be resurrected and he will see heaps of reward, he will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, I did not perform so many ibadat. Where did this reward come from?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Do you remember you asking from me this item and I didn't give you, and you kept on asking for months and months?" So he said, "Yes." So he said, "I'm giving you today." Allah definitely accepts our prayers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. So in some cases Allah will grant us in this world the very item. Sometimes he will substitute it with something else. And because he is all wise, in many cases he will grant us everything in the hereafter. So number one, never lose hope in any situation whatsoever. Any situation. Number two, when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua with this firm resolution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely going to accept my prayer. Even if you have to pray to him for years and years, continue praying. And number three, when you commit a sin, when a sin is committed, however grave and heinous that crime is, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah with this positive thought that as soon as I say to my Creator, "Oh Allah, I have committed this crime, I am regretful, I will never commit this crime again, forgive me," He is going to immediately forgive me. Yabna Adam, O the son of Adam, innaka ma da'awtani wa rajawtani ghafartu laka ala ma kana minka wala ubali. O the son of Adam, for as long as you see a ray of hope in my forgiveness, and for as long as you continue to call me and ask me for my forgiveness with a firm resolution not to commit that sin again, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ, I will forgive whatever you have done. And I will not care. وَلَا أُبَالِي, I will not care. You may do this 100 times in a day. You may do this 1,000 times in a day. You may do this 1,000,000 times in a day. There is no set limit that if you come once, I will forgive you. If you come second time, I will forgive you. If you come a third time, I will forgive you. No. As long as the sin is committed, overcome by nafs and shaitan, whatever the circumstance was, and after that the regret is there, firm resolution is there not to commit that sin, and one turns to Allah and he says, "Oh Allah, I'm going to rectify my life again." At that precise moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamalla dhamba lahu." The one who after committing sin repents sincerely is as if he has never committed a sin. So why should we think negative? Why should we feel that I did tawbah in Ramadan and then I broke that tawbah, then Shawwal again I broke that tawbah, I did tawbah yesterday, I broke that tawbah today, I have been breaking tawbah for the last 1 month every day. How can Allah forgive me? Why will Allah forgive me? Such a criminal, how will Allah forgive me? No. Do not become despondent. This is haram. Always have positive thoughts in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ibadi, O my servants, alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim," who have committed so many sins that they have gone beyond limits and they have oppressed their own selves because they have made themselves worthy of Jahannam. So Allah is talking to those people upon whom Jahannam is wajib. He is saying, "Ya ibadi." Allah is talking to those people who have made Jahannam wajib upon them by committing so many sins. Allah is not saying, oh the criminals. He says, Ya ibadi, oh my servants. Oh my servants. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah does not forgive one sin. Allah does not forgive two sins. Allah does not forgive a dozen sins. There is no limit. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgive all sins. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Because He is most forgiving, most merciful. Remember one thing, my friends, especially my young friends. Shaitan has his ways of destroying our future in this very world, spiritual future, religious future, and destroying our future of the qabr, destroying our future of the day of Qiyamah, destroying our future of Jannah. So he brings these evil thoughts in our minds. You've been committing fornication for the past 5 years. Allah will forgive you. You've been disloyal to your wife for so many years. Such cruelty. Allah will forgive you. You are disloyal to your husband for so many years. Allah will forgive you. No, He will not forgive you. If He is not going to forgive you, then why ask for repentance? Why ask for forgiveness? Why repent? This is a trick from shaitan. This is a trick from shaitan. Remember one thing. Remember one thing. The first deceit and the first deceiving comes from shaitan when we are about to commit a sin. When we are making a program of committing sins, at that moment this thought enters our mind, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah is all forgiving. Allah is all merciful. Allah is compassionate. Allah is very loving. So I will commit this sin, and once I've committed this sin, I will ask for forgiveness and Allah will forgive me. This is from shaitan. If the thought of Allah being forgiving and merciful enters our hearts and minds at the time of committing the sin, then it is a thought from shaitan. At the time of committing a sin, before committing a sin, we should remember one thing only. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Allah punishes very severely. Allah punishes very severely. Allah punishes very severely. That should be the only thought. When we are about to commit a sin, when our heart and mind is entertaining sinful activities, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, that thought should never come. Only one thought. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. So this is the first trick of shaitan. And thereafter we have committed the sin. Now we have made the mistake. If we have made the mistake, then shaitan does not bring this thought in our minds that Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. Therefore, sort your matter out with Allah Ta'ala. He brings another thought. How can Allah forgive you? Allah gave you opportunity to go for Umrah. You've still not changed your life. You went for Hajj. You've still not changed your life. Allah granted you the month of Ramadan. He granted you the tawfiq to perform 5 times salat regularly with jamaat, recite so much Quran, sit in itikaf, and still you have not changed your life. How can Allah forgive you? So if Allah is not going to forgive you, then don't repent. Don't repent. Remember, my friends, before committing a sin, only one thought should remain in our minds. أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Allah punishes very severely. And once a sin has been committed, then أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ should never come in our minds. There should be only one thought. أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. And turn to Allah. Turn to Allah and say to Him, O Allah, I seek Your forgiveness, forgive me. I seek Your forgiveness, forgive me. إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. يَبْنَ آدَمْ لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. Oh, the son of Adam, if you come to me with heap of sins, if you come to me with heaps of sins, if you come to me with this earth filled with sins, لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة, then I will meet you with this earth filled with my rahmah. I will meet you with this earth filled with my rahmah. And I will say, come, come my servant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out his arms. That does not necessarily mean that Allah has a body like us. It is only to make us understand his love for us. It is like a mother who stretches out her hands despite the son being totally neglectful as far as her rights are concerned. But she still says, come my son, you are my darling. You are my beloved. Come to me. Come back to me. Where have you gone? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out his arms. From Maghrib till Subha Sadiq. Maghrib till morning. Inna Allah ta'ala yabsutu yadahu bil layl. Liyatuba musi'un nahar. And he calls out and he says that those people who have spent the whole day sinning, come to me. I am ready to accept it. Wa inna Allah ta'ala yabsutu yadahu bin nahar. Liyatuba musi'un layl. And from morning until Maghrib Salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out his arms for those people who are sinning throughout the night. And he says, come to me, I am there to accept you. I am here to accept you. What is the reference that is being made in this hadith? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours is there to accept our tawbah. Inna Allah ta'ala yakbalu tawbat al-abdi ma lam yugharghir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the tawbah of a person until his last breath. Until he begins to see the scenes of the hereafter. Until then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his tawbah. Yabna Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. If the heights of your sins has reached the sky, oh, the son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah saying, my friends. Allah promising us. لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. If the heights of your sins reach the heights of the skies. ثُمَّ لَقِيْتَنِي. Then you come to me. لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا. The only condition is that you are a believer. Your aqaid are perfect. غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Without any care and without any hesitation, I will forgive all your sins. This is the mercy of our Creator, my friends. This is the mercy of our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who begins his kitab, the ultimate book, with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Out of the 99 attributes, he has chosen 2 attributes for Bismillah. Bismillah, I begin in the name of Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, who is Ar-Rahim. Not who is Al-Qahar, not who is Al-Jabbar, who is Ar-Rahman, who is the most compassionate. Ar-Rahim, who is the most merciful. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has told his ummah, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِبَالٍ لَمْ يُبْدَ فِيهِ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَقْطَعَ. Whenever you perform a good act, if you do not start that act with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then you will not find barakah in that deed. You will not find barakah in that act of yours. You will not find barakah in that activity of yours. So a mu'min is expected to do only good. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to read this kalima, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, from morning till evening. Whenever we do something, say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Why? To remind us that the Allah that you are dealing with is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. He is all compassionate, all merciful. So let us return to that hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I deal with my servant according to the thoughts that he entertains regarding me. If his thought is positive, that I am turning to Allah and Allah will definitely take me out of this problem, then I will take him out of the problem. And if he entertains a negative thought that no, Allah will not solve this problem of mine, I will not solve this problem. When he makes dua, he makes a firm resolution and he turns to me with a positive thought that Allah will definitely accept my prayer, then I will accept his prayer. But if he turns to me with a negligent heart, that Allah is not going to accept my prayer, I will not accept his prayer. If he turns to me with a positive thought that Allah will definitely forgive my sins, then I will forgive his sins. But if he turns to me with a negative thought that Allah will not forgive my sin, I will not forgive his sins. ana inda dhanni abdi bi, I will deal with a person according to the thoughts that he entertains regarding me. Wa ana ma'ahu idha da'ani, I am with him whenever he calls me. I am with him. Allah is with us physically. But what is the meaning here? I am with him. That means when he calls me in distress, then I am with him with my help. My help will be there when he calls me. When he calls me for forgiveness, then I will be with him with my forgiveness. When he calls me for a cure, I will be with him with my cure. Whenever he calls me, I will be there. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to his cousin Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Ya ghulam, ihfadillaha yahfad. Oh my cousin, oh my son, ihfadillah. Because the age gap, there was quite a large gap between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. So he said, oh my son, ihfadillah, yahfadka. Safeguard the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will safeguard you. Ihfadillah tajidhu tijahat. Safeguard the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will always find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. Idha sa'alta fas'alillah. Whenever you ask for something, ask from Allah only with a positive frame of mind. Wa idha sta'anta fasta'in billah. And whenever you seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only with a positive frame of mind. So friends, this is the lesson that we need to go with from here today. That we will always think positive about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have committed crimes, and many crimes. Maybe adultery, maybe fornication, maybe consumption of drugs, maybe buying and selling drugs, maybe theft, stealing, maybe murder. We may have committed many crimes. But there is no crime as great and as heinous as the crime of shirk and crime of nifaq. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could grant the highest status that a person can acquire after the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam to those people who were once committing the crime only because they repented, then will not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the highest status of wilayat if we repent sincerely and turn to him and say, oh Allah, from now on we will not commit this crime. Definitely he will. There is not a shadow of doubt, because he is Ghafoor, he is Rahim, he is Rahman, and he is Rauf, and he is very, very kind to all his creation. So let us make a firm resolution that from now on in every situation in our lives, we will always entertain good thoughts, positive thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is fard, it will benefit us in this world and the hereafter, and we will never entertain evil and negative thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is haram and it is destructive in this world and destructive in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.